first, we should do boys camp. So if you went to boys camp, why don't you just come up? Just come and stand, come and chat. Come on. If you went to boys camp, I just want you to come and stand up here with the other boys. That's it. Come on, lads. Come on. All right, Sonny, come on. You came as well. I'll make it worse for you, Sonny. Come on. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. So who have we got here? What are we doing? Are we getting in high order? Are we or what? Okay. All right. So I'm going to ask a bunch of questions, and you guys just give me your best answers. Okay. So boys camp. How long is boys camp?
5 days.
Okay, it's 5. It's a week. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's good. That's good. It's 5 or 6 days.
6 days.
All right, Elijah, leave him. All right, Sonny did come as well, didn't he, Sonny? All right. Now, when you were at boys' camp, what sort of stuff do you do? Let's ask Arthur. What sort of stuff do you do at boys' camp?
So do you like helping out around and stuff? Yeah, tent tidy. You might do some sports, some worship meetings, you'll eat food, because that's important, and other stuff. I can't really remember. You do like activities in the afternoon as well.
Okay, and I heard that there's a competition between the tents. So what tent were you in, Barry? Who was in
Vikings.
You were in the Vikings. Who else was in the Vikings? Okay, so a lot of you were in that tent. What tent were you in, Nathan?
The Romans.
The Romans. And who is in your tent? Anyone in the Romans? Yeah, these boys down here. Superb. Okay. And so, Arthur, you were in a tent all on your own with no one from River Church. Oh.
I was part of the Egyptians.
Okay, superb. All right, okay. So, whose tent got the most points? Oh, so you boys won the week, did you? Well done. So these are our champions. And these guys here are just losers, really. So did your tent do good at any particular activity, Nathan?
We won Crocker.
Okay, they won Crocker. So Crocker is like rounders with weird bats. Okay, that's the best way to describe it. So kind of crickety rounders. Okay. Arthur, did your tent do well at anything?
My tent won archery. I did not.
I have 18 shots, you got 3 points. I have 18 shots, you got 3 points.
Good work. Toby, what about your tent?
We tied with Nathan's team in Crocker, but they had more runs. We had more average run score.
And we won the whole thing. But we won the whole thing, so.
Okay, great. Oh, that's the important thing, isn't it? All right, okay. Now, when you got home, boys, did any of you actually bring back all the things that you went with?
No.
Did any of you bring back any of the things you went with?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Let's have a show of hands from the parents. How many parents had stuff that wasn't even theirs in their bags? Whose bag was significantly lighter than the one they sent them with? Yeah. Okay. All right. So you got to work on that, boys. Right. But this is the key thing, right? This is the key thing. When you went, it was a Christian camp, right? Yeah. And there were Bible studies in the mornings, were there? Yeah. There were meetings in the evenings?
Yeah.
And did you find that the Lord was speaking to you?
Yeah.
Anyone want to share? All right, Nathan's going to share with us. Well done.
So I didn't really know what I was going to share this morning. And then when we were sitting in the meeting, the first song that came up, and it was the song, there was a line in it that said there was... Yeah, no, I know what the song is. But there was a line that said there was none other like you, and it reminded me of the speech that one of the officers gave, which was about that there was no other king like Jesus, because the whole week was based on kingdom. So he's talking about the kingdom of God, the Jesus being the king, and that he was saying that like Jesus got whipped and beat, but he was still greater than every other king. He didn't have all like the fancy stuff when he was down on the earthly kingdom. He was just like a normal man, but he was still better than every single other one of them.
That's all right, it's fine. And any of you other boys got anything you'd like to share about the camp? Okay, we've got some fun stuff going on. Anybody else like to share something? Shh. very naughty. Don't say shut up in our house ever. Okay, all right. All right, good stuff, lads. Gonna take a seat. Big round of applause. They all survived. I remember when I was a boy, we used to get T-shirts and I survived Rora Boys Camp. All right, well, I think there was a girls' house party. So come on, big round of applause for the girls. Come on, girls, come on. Come on. Four, okay, there's just four of them. Well done, girls. Right, okay. Boys, they were respectful from when you were up there. I expect you to show some respect too. Right, well, you were in the same place. Did you have to rough it in tents though, girls?
No.
You got luxury. Oh, wow, this sounds good. This sounds much better.
We've got beds and lamps.
That's what you need. Okay, and who can tell us about kind of what happens at you? Miriam as well. Miriam did go as well, so well done, Miriam. All right. So what type of activities did you guys do? I'll pass it. Oh, look, we've got someone who's very eager here. Good work.
We played Splat.
You played Splat? How did you play Splat?
Is that it?
Tell us about how you play Splat. Can anyone else explain Splat?
Basically, one person's in the middle and then everybody else makes a circle. If you splat someone, the person has to duck down. The people on the side has to splat each other.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Excellent. So was it a whole week of splat or was there anything else?
We played like team games to get points after dinner and yeah.
All right. What was the food like?
Very nice.
All right. Great stuff. And I hear some rumours that some girls were doing some quite naughty activities, sneaking people into their rooms. Is this true?
Yeah.
I love it. And what were the meetings like, girls? Did you have some good meetings? You like them? Okay.
What was it about?
It was about the armour of God and like, yeah, stuff.
Okay, so there's the helmet of salvation. Come on, sing it. Okay, there's the sword of the spirit. That's the breastplate of righteousness. There's the belt of truth.
Yeah, good.
Did I say shield of faith?
What we got over here? Shield of faith.
Yeah, shield of
gospel of good news.
Shoes. Yeah, that's it. Amen. Big round of applause. Right, and so we know the guys have been learning about the Lord. And has any of you got anything you'd like to share while you're here? Oh, yeah, go, Sophia.
I just got a Bible verse I want to read. It's from Psalms 103, verse 8. It says, "The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love." So it's just like, just made me think, like, no matter what we do, no matter if whatever mistake we make, the Lord will always love us. Yeah, that's it.
Amen.
Are you going to do your suitcase?
No, I don't know. Should I say it?
Yeah, it's your only choice.
Should I say it?
Just quickly.
You say it.
I'm not saying it. It's your thing.
I'm not going to say it.
Okay, you don't.
Yeah. Everyone wants to hear. Okay. Come on, you can do it.
Num.
Hold it nice and close, okay?
So she had this thought in Girls' House Party, and we were talking about like carrying around lies, and like instead of carrying around lies, she thought of like a suitcase. It's like heavy and she's trying to find the Lord, and like she can't because she's got these heavy suitcases full of lies and what everybody else is saying of her. So she's just thinking, like, just let them go and you'll be able to find God. That's it.
Thank you, Sophia.
Fantastic. Big round of applause for the girls. Thank you very much. That was amazing. And so God is speaking to our young people, and that's what it's all about. Fantastic. Right. What are we on to next? Greece.
Okay, yeah, we can invite her up in a little bit, yeah.
Should we get Hannah to come and tell us about Teen Challenge? Do you want to come and tell us now? Should we give you till the Grease people are finished to like think about things? All right, we'll give you a few minutes. Right. Okay, we're going to invite the guys up from Greece who went on mission to Greece to just come up and share. There was three of them. We're going to let them have 5 minutes each. And then we're going to cut them off. No, I'm only joking. So we're going to invite Sam up first. Where are you, Sam? We're here. Big round of applause. Come on.
I'll hold it nice and close, but the point is that I don't rush. So feel free to tell me to slow down. Thank you, Dion. So the great news is we all survived, and that includes my driving on the left. It may have had on the right, sorry, my driving on the right. So it may have had something to do with the fact that my team had direct access to the prayer group through Alan and then later with Marie. So the first testimony I want to give is my own, and that was the fact that I was obedient to God, because I didn't actually find out I was going to Greece until God told me less than a month before we were due to go. In my company, it's a minimum of 4 weeks' notice before you can actually take leave. So I thought my boss was going to say no from the word go. And I was also due to open a new store the same week we were due. Not only did my boss say yes straight away, but the store opening got moved. Then when I was thinking, okay, how am I now going to afford to do this? My company were like, oh, you've just done 20 years with us, so here's a bonus. So God made a way financially and with funds. The second one has more to do with Peter. And it's what I witnessed through his faith in what God had shown him, and also how God will always provide a way, even when it seems impossible. So it was day 3 of the trip. There were fewer Bibles to hand out because we had a lot more driving to do. Having spent the majority of the drive just about sitting on Peter's lap due to the fact that the drop-off was on my side, it's fair to say that my nerves were already stretched. We were heading to a really small village and there were only 7 Bibles that we had to hand out. And we come around this corner and there is just this hill going up that even in my 4x4 I wouldn't have attempted. But Peter, no, off he goes. And about a third of the way up, we see the sign, and it doesn't matter what language we speak, round sign, red, no entry. So I'm now looking at the map. I can't find any other way to get to this village. And now I'm trying to work out, are we reversing back or are we going to attempt to turn? But Peter decides, no, we need to check. And off he goes up this hill. So just before we get to the top, and I'm waiting to give Peter a I told you so that even Mary would be proud of, this little side road shows up, and it's the road we actually need. So if Peter hadn't persisted and made this poor car go all the way up this hill, we never would have found the side road, and we never would have delivered the 7 Bibles. So to me, it's just, you know, instead of turning back, he kept going. And it's just the fact that God, you know, he had a way for us, but sometimes we have to go through what he needs us to go through to get to where he wants us to go. So my third story, this took place on the last day, and it was the last village, and I was with a new team, and I had a young Greek girl with me. Richard, who was our driver, and the boys were on the other side of the village because we'd seen some rather large dogs. So they were going to sort that side out, and Tabitha and I went the other direction. We were walking along, and all of a sudden I looked, and there were 3 very large, very unhappy dogs now barking at us. And this is when Tabitha chooses to tell me that she's scared of dogs. So I've got a sort of a road with a bit of a drop this side, 3 roads, and 3 dogs. So this is where I tap into the fact that every morning Marie would say, you know, we're going to pray for you and we'll pray that you're safe. So the verse that came to my head, well, if my God is for us, who can stand against us? I then had to pray that it applied to our 4-legged friends as well. So praying in tongues, I took hold of Tabitha's hand and we just walked through. The dogs weren't happy, but they didn't go after us. They just carried on barking, but it allowed us to get past and we actually carried on doing what we needed to do, so the Bibles got handed out. Altogether, it was an amazing trip and God truly did some great work within me. Next year, Operation Joshua are hoping to make it the last one and to complete their mission to see a Bible in every home in Greece. So I encourage you to pray about it and be obedient if God lays it on your heart to go. Thank you.
Are we going to have Marie or Peter next? Marie, oh, super. All right, come on, Marie.
Hey, so the thing I'd like to share is about when we went to the Gypsy Church. So I noticed it's quite a rough area. There's like piles of rubbish and just a couple of one or two parties going on. It's a bit of a rough area. But I noticed in this church their worship was really like passionate and powerful. And it reminded me of a vision I had about diamonds being formed under pressure. So we know that diamonds are formed deep under the ground under a lot of pressure on top of it. So it reminded me of the scripture about in the Bible about we're refined by the fire. So in difficulties we can learn, we can grow. We can become more, we have the chance to become more compassionate, more wiser, and also about, yeah, so it reminded me of that and that in the darkness stars shine, like in the daytime they don't shine. But in the dark, they have a chance to shine. So these people in the gypsy areas, they're living in quite rough conditions. But the Christians there, they have a chance to shine like stars in the dark sky. And also that praise is like a weapon. So I know from my experience that when I've been going through difficult times, my praise is like really like passionate. So it can be a weapon. So So I just wanted to encourage everyone that if you're going through challenges, that God's refining you, becoming more like a diamond, so that you can shine even brighter, and to praise and worship because that helps us through. I liked their prayer and their praise was powerful. Yeah. Hope you understood that. Yeah.
Thanks, Marie. And Marie, you spent some of your time giving out the Bibles and then some of your time praying, right? Excellent. That's fantastic. Great work. All right. Now, it wouldn't be Peter if he hadn't built a whole display for his 5-minute talk. So it's good stuff. And you're going to leave this out down at the bottom for people to look at afterwards.
Yes, I'll be down there. Happy to take any questions down there. Thank you, Sam and Marie, for what you shared. Thanks for coming to Greece with me. When Patrick did the announcements earlier and said who came to Greece, and it was meant to be just us three, it was you guys as well. You prayed for us and you held us up in your prayers. So thank you for coming with us. I asked if we could have a verse, can we? Now I've put that there, you might not be able to see it, but anyway, that's cool planning. Right, so this is quite a well-known section. Romans 10, verse 13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's not just for us, it's for everyone, yeah? So, you know, we're not saved just by loving God. We have to call upon the name of the Lord. So I'm just encouraging us all to believe that God has put his light in you. The light shines in the darkness. Even if the darkness doesn't understand it, some people will understand it. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God is faithful to his word. Next verse, please. So then how can people call on the one if they haven't believed in him? And how can they believe in the one if they haven't heard? Okay, same thing. You know, not only are we light, but we also I guess we're sound. We have mouths. We can talk. The word of God speaks as well. And then how can the people hear without someone preaching to them? How can the people hear without us actually telling them? Yeah, we're not going to take the light and put it under a bushel and put it down high. It needs to be right up on the top of the hill that we declare God's word, because God is faithful to his word. Then verse 15, how can anyone preach? How can anyone proclaim the word of God unless they are sent? All of us are called to make disciples of all men. All of us have been sent. We haven't been called to stay at home. When we went to Greece, we specifically were sent. We were sent by you guys. Yeah? But this is a general thing. This isn't just for people who go to Greece. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news? Now, that might seem a little bit odd, that verse at the end. You know, we're talking about speaking the word of God and God being faithful to his word and this kind of thing. And then suddenly it talks about feet. Yeah. Sam, how many steps did you do whilst you were in Greece? About? Yeah, so we did quite a few steps, yeah? Did you get any blisters?
No.
Okay, I'm sure some people did. Yeah, some of the guys on boys' camp got blisters as well. Well, if we're doing these things unto the Lord, our feet are beautiful. We can have beautiful blisters. What we do unto the Lord, he makes beautiful. Even what we were singing earlier about when we make a noise unto the Lord, that it becomes a sweet, sweet sound to his ear, because we're doing it in his grace, in his love, in his authority, in his power. So, moving on a little bit to Greece and this display here. Obviously, I'm not going to go through all of this now. So the section on the left is about what we did. And when you come and look at it, you'll see we've got basically little kids here doing it. And in a way, we were little kids. We were just obedient, as Sam said. We take these little Bibles in bags and we deliver them on the gate. Sometimes we talk to people, most of the times we don't. We've also got some pictures here of our prayer teams. So this one here is the prayer team in Stiletha, which is the place that I thought we were going to, which was by the coast. I found out on the driver's orientation that actually we'd been deployed to the other place, the not so nice place, Karditsa, which is a long way from the beach. Okay, there was a swimming pool in the hotel, but it doesn't really compare, to be honest. I was concerned about this. One of the people we took along, Alan, who I think many of us here know, I think he was 79 then, he came specifically to pray. So all these people he was familiar with are going to be over at the other place, and we're going to be, you know, 100 miles away or something from them, and he'll kind of be isolated. So Sam was talking about doing things in faith. Yeah, I do things in faith, but I also sometimes get scared. So, you know, I brought someone along here to pray, and we would go into this other place, and, you know, what now? So obviously I was praying. I didn't really want to let on to the people in the team because I was their fearless leader. So instead, I was fortunate that there was a community prayer group, and this was my community. My community was here in Greece, and also the people I'd taken with me. And I put a little prayer request up there, and the guys prayed. And out of that, we were able to arrange a group of people who were there to pray that Alan could be a part of. And the consequence was that this year, our little team, which was about, so our team of about, where are we? 15 cars, 5 people each. What does that make? 75. So we're about 80 people or whatever, similar size to what my little section was last year. Last year we didn't have a prayer team. This time we had a team specifically praying for us. Marie went and joined that prayer team in the last 2 days, 3 days, I don't quite remember which. But yeah, so that was great. So here's what we were doing. Here is the response. You can see so many people happy to receive a New Testament. We take it for granted. For these people were blessed. You can see it in their faces. They gave us gifts. These are other people, other teams. Some of the photos seem to have fallen behind. We'll get that fixed. People being given orange juice. People being excited, opening it up. All sorts of great things. Here's a shepherd. His job is basically walking around up in the hills somewhere, looking after sheep, I guess, as shepherds do. But basically, the sheep kind of roam, and he sort of will round them up towards the end of the day and so on. So it's a very solitary life. And here's his joy when he gets the word of God for him to read. One really exciting thing is covered here, which is a place called Sepharthes, where there was a gypsy church, not the one that Marie was talking about, another one, which is quite close to where we were staying. And you can see all the kids, all the adults, so keen on getting the word of God, receiving the Bibles. I've had a little chat with some of the follow-up team and so on. I really do believe there's going to be a revival going on in this place. Amazing joy, amazing stuff going on here. We also have some other pictures of some of the more established Roma Gypsy churches that we went to here. So these people here are going to be involved in the follow-up to the people up here. Then the last little thing I wanted to touch on was the connection with River Church. So that's these bottom three pictures down here. So one thing that you guys did by means of your giving was you enabled... Oh, I don't remember the numbers. Joel's got the numbers. I sent it to him in the kind of the accounts. I think it's about 10 people who weren't able to get back from where we were, which is sort of 200 miles north of Athens, back to Athens. So River Church, through the money that you gave, you bought the coach tickets for them to get back. Some of the people couldn't get back because the drivers they were planning on going back with had COVID or things like this, or other things had changed. So it was a real blessing. And actually, you can see some of the pictures in that picture are some of the people that were with us in our car earlier on. So it's nice how everything joins up. This picture here is me and really the pioneer of one of the churches here in North Athens, one of the Roma Gypsy churches. And this guy goes round helping churches get established in many Roma Gypsy communities all around Greece. So I sent a message to some other guys just yesterday, and it turned out that he was off in a van with some other people doing the equivalent of going from here to Cardiff or a little bit further to do some ministry and discipleship over in the churches over there. And then this last little one here, this kind of ties up with what Marie was saying about how poor the community is here. So one of the guys here, someone who I've known for a long time, he's 28 now, I think. I've sort of known him from when he was about 20. A guy called Stephanos, really loves the Lord and is involved in a lot of the evangelism in Athens and in other places. God has laid on his heart for him to go to the Maasai area. Now, you may recall Andy... Oh, dear, memory's gone wrong. Terry's mum and dad. Andy and Esther. We did some fundraising for Maasai. That, I think, was in Kenya, in the south part of Kenya. This is another church which is in the north part of Tanzania. The borders that we've put in don't really match the tribal lands too well. The Maasai are nomadic people. So this is basically a guy from a very poor area here with a vision to go over with some other people to help put some windows and do some building work and do some children's ministry and other things over in this church in Tanzania, North Tanzania. So if any of us would like to support that as well, please. You know, I commend these people to you. I commend the passion of the people we worked with. I also commend the people that came with me and strongly invite you to come along next year. It may well be the last one because we've done all the areas of Greece, which is what the vision is for. It might be the last but one, to be honest. I wonder why Patrick's standing so close. Let me stand on this side. So, thank you, everybody. Just giving a bit of time. Amen.
Thanks, Pete. And we know Pete's got a real heart for World Mission, and he gets us all involved. And Pete, we want to thank you for what you're bringing to the church, you know, because I think it's so important that we don't just think about ourselves and that we get out and then we bring the gospel. And I know you've really got a heart for that. And I just want to encourage you, keep doing it, Pete, and keep getting us involved. Okay? A big round of applause for Pete. Well done, Pete. Thank you, mate. And if you want to talk to Pete about any of this, Pete, you're going to take this downstairs with the coffees. All right. Well, I'll tell you what we've got this morning. We've got Hannah. We might get her to come and share. Jay. Where's Jay? Oh, he's gone. Well, we'd love to get Jay to come and share something. Something he was telling me yesterday was fantastic. So when he comes back, I'm going to corner him. Hannah, would you like to come and share?
Well, that's it. Big round of applause. Come on.
While the girls were in girls' house party, I was at some other place called Teen Street, and I stayed there for a week. And basically every year they have this word that like their entire week is based on, and this year it was Unfold, where we were going to unfold the world of God, the word of God. And one of the main teachings that I remember was that you had to be patient in what God is doing, because he's not always like going to do what you think he's doing. And we looked in the Bible at stories from about Samuel, David, and King Saul, and how they needed to be patient and wait for the plan that God had for them. And I feel like, yeah, it really impacted me a lot.
Well done. And we want to encourage our young people. When God's speaking to them, we want to hear from them too. So that's fantastic. Thank you, Hannah. All right. Okay, I'm going to open it up now. So if anybody would like to come and share what God has been doing in their heart and in their lives, now is your opportunity. Tumbleweed going across. Oh, Barry. Come on, Barry. Young people leading us this morning.
So when it was just my birthday, I got a cool new airsoft gun. And so in January, we took it to play with it for the first time at an airsoft game. And the butt plate fell out. And I lost the butt plate. And so this was like 6 months ago. And we looked for it, but we just couldn't find it anywhere. So then we moved on. Like, whenever we went back there to the site, we'd like look, but we never found it. And then yesterday, my dad went airsofting, wasn't even looking for it, and just looked down, and there happened to be this butt plate. And he brought it home, and it happened to be my one, so.
Love it, Barry. And I think that God is really speaking to us in a way this morning, saying, I care about all the little things. I care about you and all the little things that are going on in your life. It's not too big for me. It's not too little for me either. So who else have we got? Oh, Hannah. Very good. Come on, Hannah.
Hello. Miriam was too shy to come up, but she did go to a girls' house party, and it was her first ever time going anywhere away from home. She's never been away from home for more than one night, and even that time she was with her dad. So it was a big deal for her. She was very nervous, but I'm super proud because she took part in all the activities. She tried new foods. She wanted me to tell you that she tried peanut butter and loves it, and that they had really lots of fun rolling down the hill every day with men. She made new friends, and she learned about the armour of God, and she did this. They made up a little song, the leader kept sending me all these pictures, and it was really great. Also, because of it being her first time and me being a bit not sure about how she'd cope, I planned to stay down there for a few days, and then I hoped she would come back in the minibus, but there wasn't room. So because of the price of petrol being crazy, I sort of said to Terry, how do you feel about me maybe staying down there for the week? And he said, yeah, go on. So I found an Airbnb, and it was a bit of a big deal for me going away on my own and leaving my little ones. I was really nervous about it, but God knew that I needed it. We've had a pretty stressful year as a family, and I just, it was so great. I can't even tell you how great it was. I just having time for me to go on nature walks and swim, and I tried paddleboarding, and I went to the theatre, and Hannah Smith's parents live there, and she said, they stayed they said they'll take you for a walk one day if you'd like. And so I met up with her parents, who I'd never met before, and they took me on the ferry and we went for this lovely walk in Cornwall. And then they were so kind and they bought me a drink, and then they invited me over another day and gave me supper. And just everywhere I went, like, God was just showing me his goodness and his kindness. And, you know, when I wanted to swim on the beach and I was a bit worried about leaving my bag, there was always someone very kind looking very near me, which I could say, excuse me, would you mind looking after my bag? And they were all very nice. And obviously I was like, also, if I don't come back, can you ring the coast? God. And they were like, yep, we'll keep an eye on you. But yeah, just to say thank you to Terry and his parents for helping with the kids, but also thank you to God, because he knew that I needed that. And Miriam really needed Girls House Party, and she's really matured through it. So keep praying for her as well. Thank you.
Well done, Terry. Well done, mate. I think you just lost all your brownie points, Terry. Anybody else want to share about the goodness of God? What he's doing in their lives? Yeah. Come on, Michelle. Big round of applause. Come on.
For those of you who don't know me, I'm Jim and Margaret's daughter, and I just wanted to say a big thank you, because I'm going to get a bit emotional. Because it's like coming home, coming here with all of you, even though I know don't know a lot of people, I do know a lot of people here as well. And I think the overarching, get yourself together, woman, the overarching thing is that, you know, in the Bible it says, by this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And people can get caught up in visions, they can get caught up in plans, 5-year plans, 10-year plans or whatever. But here, it's like everyone's got a story, everyone's got the freedom to share their story, and it all brings the glory to God. And I think, you know, it's going to grow because, sorry Ruth, it's going to get bigger. Because you're loving one another. And it will draw people to Jesus. So that's my encouragement. But I moved to Australia 16 and a half years ago with my husband. And I guess my encouragement was that I went very adventurous and looking forward to it, excited. Had I seen what was going to happen in those years, I probably would not have gone. Even though I knew it was the Lord's will, I would not have gone, simply on the fact that it was pretty challenging. But listening to all you this morning, it's all really coming so encouraging with the picture of the diamond. It's like we're all so multifaceted, and obviously the Lord felt that Australia needed us, bless their hearts, and England didn't. And I just think what I've seen here, the beauty of the multifaceted side of God in you. For me, I'm seeing these different people coming up and sharing. I've got so much. It's like you could have had Billy Graham here and I wouldn't have got more than what I've got out this morning from what everyone shared, from the youngest to the oldest. Men and women, everything. It's been really beautiful. So I just thought I'd quickly share just a little bit of what I'm learning at the moment. And I must say, I feel sometimes like I'm at the beginning of my Christian life, and I've been a Christian for 40 years. Makes me feel very old, but God is good. He is good. And I've simplified my theology to God is good. And that means that when things don't go my way, when things aren't going how I think they should be going, God knows better. And I've seen it year in, year out, day in, day out, moment in, moment out, he is good. And so we do struggle. Christianity has got a, you know, we do have to suffer. It's part of the Christian walk. It's not the part we want to grasp and run after. But when you see what God does, and that thing about the diamond where Marie was sharing, it was beautiful, is that we do become more like Jesus in those hard times. But he's always with us. And I guess for me, in Australia, obviously there's a constant grief of not being with my natural family. It's a grief that you have to live with. It doesn't go away,
But God is with me in it, and he is with my parents. And I see them here, just so much part of here, so much the love and the honour, and it is such a comfort. So thank you for that. I could go on, but I'll just finish because you lot are all so fantastic. You've got so much wonderful stuff to say. I just want to be greedy and take more, please. I just want to finish with this, Hebrews 6:19-20. And this is my testimony, honestly, through the bad times and the good times. We have this certain hope, like a strong, unbreakable anchor, holding our souls to God himself. Our anchor of hope is fastened to the mercy seat in the heavenly realm, beyond the sacred threshold, and where Jesus, our forerunner, has gone in before us. He is now and forever our royal priest, like Melchizedek. And I guess my encouragement is, when there's unanswered prayer, which sometimes happens, when things are really tough, as things can be, he is with us in it. And I know that we've got quite, you know, God really moved in our daughter's life on a serious accident. Some of you know about it. And someone said to me, you know, it's a great testimony, but supposing she'd died. And I was like, what if she had died? And obviously that was a possibility at one point. And I guess my testimony is that God would have given me what I needed to deal with that at that time. And I guess linking that in with, you know, he gives us a measure of faith. I used to think that's not very fair. He should give us all the faith, the same faith, because we're all his children. But I'm coming to realise that he gives you the faith, the measure of faith, when you need it, in that circumstance, at that time. So we can't ever say, I could never get through that, or I could never do that, because when we need to do it, he gives us what we need. So thank you for having me. I'm so encouraged by all of you, all the people that shared, all these beautiful people who are young people to me, but because I've known them since they were kids. But it's been precious, really, really precious. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Michelle, and you're welcome here anytime. Right, okay. Well, I will invite Jay. Come on, Jay. Come on. He's got an absolutely fantastic testimony, which he did tell me and Tano yesterday, and I can't resist having him up to come and share it with us, because I think it's amazing what God's doing.
Well, firstly, it's too hot for public speaking. For any of the larger guys, I'm struggling, so if anyone's heavier than me, I feel sorry for you. Anyway, well, this is a funny story that happened to me a few days ago. And what is the statistical probability of this happening? My daughter dropped a puppy off at my house because she wanted to use the train station because of the train strikes. I decided to walk the puppy later in the day. This is about 5 o'clock. She's left her car keys there. I pick her car keys up. I leave my flat. I walk the puppy. I can't get back into my flat. I'm completely locked out. Then I remember that she's got spare keys. So I can get through the communal door, but when I try her spare door key for my door, I can't get in. So I'm getting stressed, so I knock on a few neighbours' doors, no one's in. It's really hot, puppy needs a drink of water, so I'm sitting in Jace's car with the aircon on. And I do this, I just go like this. How are you going to get me out of this one? How are you going to get me out of this one, Lord? And I'm sitting there, and then on my peripheral vision, I see a man walking down the road towards me, and I'm thinking, yes, it's a neighbour. I can borrow a hammer. I'm going to have to crack a window. I'll get in, even if I've got to smash the glass. So I said, excuse me, do you live here? Because I need to borrow a hammer and a chisel. And he said, why, what's up? I said, well, I've locked myself out. And he said, well, I can do better than that. I'm a locksmith. I live at number 56. I'll be back. And he got in with this plastic card thing through the door in about 5 seconds. And it done my head in, because what is the probability of that? Praying and that. To me, that was a miracle, because I don't feel God's love. But that was like him showing me, I'm real, Jay. And it was like the final proof that I needed. And then as I was on a roll, I couldn't find my TV control, yeah? So I thought, I'll give this a go. It's useless. Useless at finding TV controls. But it's an encouraging story for me. So I thought I'd share that.
Thanks, mate. That was fantastic.
God cares about all the little things. Amen. I think that's fantastic. You know, when we really cry out to God, he's there. He's listening. And he cares about the little things. Who else have we got? We've got time for maybe one or two more. So we're going to go with the first hand there. And then we'll see maybe, yeah, he was second up. So here we go.
Yeah, this is just another testimony of the goodness of God and about that he does care about the little things. So I had my big birthday last Friday, 21 again. And it really actually exceeded my expectations. So as I was planning it, I was thinking, okay, you know I'm created in the image of God. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And there were school mums coming and there was neighbors coming and a lot of people from church. So I obviously wanted to also bring, you know, use my birthday to bring a message across and prayed about it a lot. And then on the night, it was just so beautiful. Well, on the day of my birthday, which was the day before I had the night out, Dion and the boys said happy birthday to me and we drank a little champagne and then they ordered a toast for me. And then Dion said some, you know, like gave me a blessing basically, and the blessing was about joy. And then I thought, oh, that is so amazing. So I think what I want to say is that sometimes you just have to also listen a bit, isn't it? Because I didn't specifically think that was my message that I was going to bring across or something. Although everything I chose was kind of like sparkly, and even the banner I chose was the light behind it. And I thought, actually, it was kind of in my heart, but I didn't know it yet. And then so many people in the cards wrote a scripture about joy. And then the one gift was like the final thing when I opened it. It just, like literally I opened it and it said, spark a little joy. And I thought, you know, God is in the little things, definitely. And that meant a lot to me. Yeah.
We're all made so different, and different things are really important to us. Like just that for Marlene, just filled her with joy. That's amazing, isn't it? Right, Aaron, did you want to share something?
All right.
5 minutes maximum, okay?
Yeah, cool. It's not a long one. Anyway, so basically, a few days ago, for the last few days, whenever I try to get to sleep, basically something happens in my head where it like starts like kind of screaming, so it's really hard for me to fall asleep. And I think that like I'm never gonna get to sleep and I'm gonna have a really bad night and I'm gonna wake up all tired. And then but like I just fall asleep and when I wake up I'm feeling really good and like I'm not tired or anything. And well, yeah.
Did you pray about it, Aaron? Did you pray about it? No. Oh, okay. All right. So your parents need to do some work there. I think a future preacher we've got there. Let's pray the Lord really gets hold of him. Amen? All right. Okay, we have got time. If someone's sitting here and they're quite shy and they've been thinking, oh, I should say something, but I don't know if I can, I think maybe you can. Oh, here we go. Here we go. He's not the shyest, but we want to hear from him anyway. Big round of applause. Come on.
Cheers. All right, I'm going to start my sermon now. this is actually similar to Jay's testimony in a way. It's very unreal, so please believe me. I was on a gig a few years ago, and we were playing music somewhere, and I was with a choir, and me and myself and the choir leader, I think we were driving somewhere, and we got a flat tire up in Manchester, and we needed to change our tire, but he didn't have a spanner, and it was basically a nightmare, because it was like, we need to change the tire to our spare tire to then get to our gig, which we were running late for, and it was a Sunday morning, so most of the mechanics were closed. But we found a number, a personal number, and we called a guy, and he was like, yeah, yeah, I'll be there in a second. And we were sort of happy, like, yes, we're going to get some help. And this guy sort of walks over, and he's like jeans and shirts, so he was just casual, and helps us fix the tire and whatever. And we're like, yay, we got the tire fixed. We got in the van, driving off. I get a phone call from the number that I called before saying, hey, I've just arrived. Where are you? And I was like, we're gone. You helped us with the tire. It was like, no, I just got here. So turns out some stranger walked up to us with a spanner the exact size that we needed to fix the car. And we have no idea who it was. We just said thank you and just left because we were in a rush. So that was something like, what are the odds? Like, but yeah, I believe it was an angel.
Amen. All right. I don't know if we're going long, Tim. How are we looking? Yeah. I don't want to push them too far. All right. One last one?
No.
No? Right, so now I'll start today's sermon. Okay. No? Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Well, it's been fantastic, hasn't it? And I'm sure there's a lot more here. And God is doing a lot more than what we've heard. But isn't God wonderful? Yeah. Amen. All right. Well, maybe I'll just close with a prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for all our young people. Lord, we thank you that you are working in their lives. Lord, and we want to see them really get on fire for you. Lord, and we just pray that you'll help us to guide them and challenge them and love them. Lord, we thank you that what you're doing in the rest of the church, in the whole of the church, Lord, you are working in the small things, Lord, as we cry out to you. Lord, help us to remember to cry out to you first and not wait until we're right on our limit. Lord, be with us this week. Amen.